May it please the court?
Sure.
Your Honors, my name is Chris LaRose. I represent the St. Louis Metropolitan Sewer District. And this case, at its essence, is about whether a political subdivision like MSD has a remedy for property damage when its property is damaged by another political subdivision of the state, a completely separate one. The city's taken the position, and the trial court agreed that MSD, as a political subdivision, simply doesn't have a remedy, either in inverse condemnation or in tort. Now, this case stems, just by way of background, from a street improvement and resurfacing project that was taking place in the city of Bell Fountain back in 2009. The city was heavily involved in that process. They had an engineer on the case, involved in planning and work specifications and things like that. During the course of that project, concrete slurry that was meant to go underneath the streets and raise the streets up to a flat surface was actually pumped into MSD sewer lines, caused about $60,000 worth of damage. As a result, MSD brought suit against the contractors as well as the city. The city brought a motion to dismiss, arguing a few bases, and I'd like to address the inverse condemnation issue first.
Are the contractor suits still pending?
They are still pending. They've been stayed by the trial court pending the outcome of this suit. So on the inverse condemnation side, the law in Missouri is that inverse condemnation is the remedy for a property owner when his property is either taken or damaged by a condemning authority without just compensation. And we think that general rule applies here. The question simply is the city a condemning authority, and has MSD alleged that its property was taken or damaged without just compensation? And the answer to both questions is yes.
Well, the preliminary question is the issue of private property and whether that includes this property.
Yes, so the city's made an argument that MSD lacks standing to sue an inverse condemnation because the claim arises out of the Missouri Constitution, Article 1, Section 26, which says that if a condemning authority takes private property, it's supposed to pay just compensation. And the city's primary argument is that the word private in Section 26 excludes property owned by a public utility like MSD.
Well, why would they include the word private if they meant to include certain public property?
Why would the Missouri Constitution
The Constitution says private, but you're asking us to say that includes local, at least, public property, if I understand it.
And that's true. Sorry.
What supports our interpreting it in that way?
So, of course,
is it ambiguous?
It's not ambiguous, but courts have interpreted that exact phrase, private property, in the context of just compensation laws to mean property owned by public entities like...
But not Missouri courts, is that right?
Not Missouri courts. That's a matter of first impression for this court, which is the reason I'm sure that the Court of Appeals transferred it to you. And notably, though, the city has not been able to cite a single case in this jurisdiction or any other jurisdiction where the term private property in a takings clause has been interpreted to exclude property owned by public utilities and other political subdivisions.
But why is that plain meaning? Private does not mean public.
Well, maybe we should look at the 50 acres of land case, Your Honor, which is a United States Supreme Court case, which interpreted this exact phrase in the takings clause of the federal constitution. And what the federal Supreme Court said was that a public condemnee is no less harmed than a private one, and therefore the protections of the takings clause in the federal constitution presumptively apply to state or to public condemnees in just the same way that it applies to private condemnees.
But that's a protection clause, but sovereign immunity may be more protective than that clause in the Constitution. I mean, so it's saying more or less that the public entity has same protections as a private person, but it still doesn't make them private.
So the sovereign immunity issue is a separate one because the inverse condemnation claim arises out of the Constitution, and therefore the sovereign immunity defense does not act as a bar for the city for the inverse condemnation claim.
If they're included within this provision saying that their property shall not be damaged for public use without just compensation. I'm reminded of the case, and I apologize for not thinking of the name, but where the Constitution has a provision that said employees shall be permitted to collectively bargain through representatives of their own choosing. And this court in the 1950s said, or late 40s said, well, I know it just says employees shall not, but they meant private employees. Because, of course, they didn't mean that public employees could collectively bargain. That would be wrong. And this court held about 5 years ago, well, but they said employees. They didn't say private employees. So since they said employees, they meant all employees unless...
That was the Northeast Teachers... That was the Teachers...
Teachers Union case. And this is sort of the converse of that. It says private. It doesn't just say property. It says private property. It's the flip side. But why doesn't the same reasoning apply here?
Well, I don't think there's anything, no case law, no legal authority that says that the word private excludes property owned by an entity like MSD in a public utility. And in fact, the results of the 50 acres of land case would create this odd result that had the feds been doing road work in the Arch Grounds, for instance, which is a federally owned property, and done the exact same thing that the city of Bell Fountain did, they would be on the hook to pay for
the... Well, the feds are a different story. There was a case, the Berge Levy District, where I think Franklin County wanted to tax the federal government for owning, for their buying up land in the flood district. And not paying their levies to the Franklin County, to the levy district. And we did cite McCullough versus Maryland and say that power to tax is the power to destroy. The federal government is an entirely different game. We're talking about MSD and Bellefontaine neighbors.
And you're right, Your Honor. And there's an instructive case that the Court of Appeals noted, which is the St. Charles Laclede gas case that this court decided in, I think, 2010. And the result there was this court examined whether Laclede Gas was entitled to just compensation.
Well, they're a private entity.
And they are a private entity, but they're also a public utility. They have eminent domain powers just like MSD. They are heavily regulated just like MSD. They offer a public utility service for a fee just like MSD.
Well, so MSD is a creation of the government. Laclede Gas is not. True, they're regulated and everything else. It's like the rest of society, all regulated. But Laclede Gas is a stockholder company, it's a shareholder company, it's a private entity.
Yeah, and here we have two taxpayer fully supported entities, and so as a policy argument, you're just shifting money from one taxpayer base to another. Isn't that an argument against allowing the inverse condemnation claim?
I think in this scenario, no, and that's because the city of Bell Fountain neighbors, if the allegations are taken as true, actually caused this damage, right? They're the ones who pumped the slurry underneath the ground and into MSD's sewer lines. MSD is a much larger political subdivision of the state. It encompasses St. Louis County and St. Louis City. So what you're doing here is you're having residents of South County paying a bill that was caused by a tiny municipality on the north side of St. Louis. So the actual, if the equities are balanced there, it makes much more sense for the wrongdoer to cover the cost of their own wrongdoing and to spread that to people.
But you're trying to say the larger entity wins over the little one? I mean, if there's a claim for the, if the small entity has a good cause, a good defense, it should be good whether it's big or small.
No, I'm trying to say, Your Honor, that if the public's going to be paying anyhow, either if the city absorbs the cost or whether MSD absorbs the cost, it makes much more sense from a policy perspective for the wrongdoer to be the one that takes on that burden.
And that's a really good policy argument, but do we have authority to consider it if the constitutional provision you're relying on only says that private property shall not be taken and this is public? I understand your argument why maybe there shouldn't be that limitation, but do we have that freedom?
There's actually no legal authority, though, that says property that's owned by MSD isn't private property. It's just MSD happens to be a public entity, and what the other cases have said that have spoken on this, the 50 acres of land case, the Marin Municipal case out of California that dealt with this exact issue and the exact arguments, what they've said is Private property, in this context, includes the property owned by public utilities.
You're almost out of time, but would you address the sovereign immunity, the governmental versus proprietary distinction?
Because you have an alternative basis. Even if you can't claim inverse condemnation, you say you can win in negligence and trespass.
Yes, Your Honor, and this argument's a pretty simple one, and sovereign immunity in Missouri was codified in 1978 in Section 537-600. And our argument is that by a plain reading of that statute, it says that it adopts such sovereign immunity, sovereign or governmental tort immunity, as existed at common law in the state prior to September 12, 1977. Sovereign immunity was first recognized in Missouri in the 1820s. It's been going on for 200 years in the state of Missouri. And in zero instances, the city has been unable to point out, has sovereign immunity been applied as between one sovereign suing another sovereign for a tort? And that makes sense, actually, when you look back to the traditional reasons why sovereign immunity was ever a doctrine in the first place. And that's, you know, the king can do no wrong. Here, the king or the governmental entities are on both sides of the V. It promotes inefficiencies is another traditional justification for sovereign immunity. The idea being that if government employees can bind the government, then they're going to do what they want because they're not the ones footing the bill. Here again, we have government employees on both sides of the V, and it doesn't make any sense to apply sovereign immunity in this context. Excuse me. Recognizing this argument by MSD, the city makes an argument that the Junior College of St. Louis versus St. Louis case implicitly recognizes the application of sovereign immunity between two sovereigns. And actually, if you read that case, it doesn't do that at all. What that case does is it does exactly what we're asking the court to do here. They look at the statute and they say, oh, the statute says that we got to be able to find sovereign immunity as it existed prior to 1977 at common law. And what that court notes is at common law, there was an exception. And that's the proprietary governmental exception, and that only acts, sovereign immunity only applied to acts performed by a municipality when it was.
That's not the exception that you invoked in your petition.
That's right, Your Honor.
So if we did exactly what we did in JUCO, you lose.
And we don't think you have to get to the exception because.
Well, you can't have it both ways. Either that case stands for the proposition that you need an exception, in which case you lose, or it doesn't. You can't have it both ways.
And we think that case stands for the proposition that you have to look to pre-1977 law between 1821 and 1977 and look at how sovereign immunity was applied. Sovereign immunity wasn't applied for proprietary functions of municipalities only back during that.
But why do you have to go through that if sovereign immunity doesn't apply at all to public entities?
And we don't think you have to go through it. I'm just illustrating the argument that we're making here.
You make an argument that if it does apply, it's a proprietary function, but I thought you were also making the argument that it doesn't apply between two public entities, and so the question is, in the community college case, if that was, the case didn't directly address that, but would it have needed to go through all the many pages it went through if it could have just said there's no sovereign immunity?
It's a good point, but and I was just trying to illustrate the exercise that we're asking the court to go, which is look at the plain language of the statute, and the statute says it had to have existed at common law, and it simply doesn't. Mm-hmm. We don't think you have to get to the proprietary governmental distinction. If you do get to that point, there is a case that this court decided in the early 90s, the Russell case, which was noted by the Court of Appeals, that seems to indicate that maintaining roads is a proprietary function, and therefore sovereign immunity would not bar MSD's claims.
Any other questions? Thank you. We'll hear from you on rebuttal.
May it please the court. My name is Brian Malone, and I'm here today on behalf of the respondent, the people of the city of Belle Fountain Neighbors. There are a couple allegations from MSD's amended petition that I want to highlight for you. Paragraph 8, the Weiss Design Group designed this project and was in charge of the utility coordination. Paragraph 7, Cheryl Construction was the general contractor on the case. Paragraph 10, Cheryl hired Lift Right to perform mud jacking services. They describe mudjacking services in paragraph 11 of their petition as pumping slurry beneath voids of the streets to make sure the streets are adequately supported. And then in paragraph 14, they say slurry was pumped into MSD's lines. So rather than continue to prosecute its claims against these parties, MSD is elected to pursue its claims against the City of Belle Fountain neighbors in this court. All those other claims have been stayed at MSD's request pending the resolution of these issues. The city, and by extension its taxpayers, are only here because we're a municipality in another deep pocket to bring to the table. Whether or not a sovereign can condemn another sovereign's property, whether or not sovereign immunity exists between two sovereigns, whether we even need to wade into what this court has called the maze of inconsistencies of the governmental proprietary dichotomy are ultimately completely unnecessary. MSD's argument that unless you find the city liable, that they would be without a remedy is just false. It's black letter law in Kilmer versus Munn that sovereign immunity does not violate the open courts provision and the statutes that declare a certain class of defendants to be immune, whether it be governmental bodies or nonprofit hospitals, does not violate the open courts clause. All that does is limit their access to one particular pocket. So we're asking the court to affirm the trial court's dismissal of the city from the suit, and that MSD is then free to pursue its claims against the other parties that actually caused its damages. The inverse condemnation claim that MSD brought in this case isn't really your textbook run-of-the-mill inverse condemnation case. Almost every case, if not every case, that I'm able to find on inverse condemnation is based on a nuisance theory. And that is significant because what the court has said the elements of showing an inverse condemnation by way of nuisance is that there be notice, unreasonable operation in spite of the notice, injury, damage, and causation. There's none of that in this petition because we're not dealing with a public sewer that was improperly designed that backed up into somebody's basement or a street that gradually over time crept onto someone's property causing damage. The petition describes sudden, quick damage as a result of negligent actions taken by a subcontractor in this case that was supposed to be pumping slurry into the street and started pumping it into MSD's lines. And so there's no allegation that the city was ever on notice. There was no unreasonable operation in spite of notice. And so
this may not be in the record, but you can tell me if it isn't. The contractors bonded? Are they? Do you require insurance for them to do work for Bellefontaine neighbors?
I'm not sure if it's in the record. I believe that they are insured and bonded, but that isn't in the record, and I shouldn't say stated as fact. But I believe they are. This is significant because I think if I was standing here representing Walmart, and we take the word Bellefontaine neighbors out of the petition, we put in the word Walmart, and this project happened in Walmart's parking lot, we'd just be calling these claims trespass and negligence and examining them under that rubric. But because we're a municipality, it's true, as Counsel for Appellant stated, that is the exclusive remedy against a condemning authority. But what they've done here is not pled a nuisance claim. What they've done is said, well, the city has sovereign immunity for torts, so we're going to call these otherwise tort claims inverse condemnation claims. And I don't think that's consistent with the existing case law on inverse condemnation. It's a prerequisite that to be liable for an inverse condemnation claim that the entity that is being sued be vested with the power of inverse condemnation. And as the court noted, the cities we don't have the natural ability to condemn property. We can only have the ability that the General Assembly has granted to us. And the General Assembly has granted some condemning authority.
But it's a lot of regulations to do condemnation. Entering your pipes, doing condemnation, you have to have hearings, you have other things. It's not the same thing as your contractor broke their pipes or something. That's it would take a lot more to make it condemnation than the negligence.
I would agree with you, and I would say that the courts have held that. Let me back up for a moment. Section 88667 is the statute that the General Assembly has delegated the authority to condemn to local governments, and that has specifically exempted public property. And the case law has said that general grant of condemning authority to municipalities is not sufficient for the city to rely upon if we wanted to condemn public property. So as Council for Appellant stated, it is a prerequisite that we be vested with the ability to condemn.
But you've just said you are vested with the ability to condemn. So I don't know of any precedent that if you're a public entity that can condemn properties for some purposes, then inverse condemnation is a remedy, is one of the ways that if you don't in fact pay as you should, people get relief. So I understand your public versus private argument, but not that you can condemn but not enough to count.
Right. Well, my argument is that we only have limited powers to condemn, and as we face MSD, we are
and
not.
So if you go beyond those, and why aren't they entitled to a remedy? You condemn but don't give money. You condemn beyond that. If you take property without paying for it, and you're a public entity that has an ability to condemn, but you fail to do it, why wouldn't inverse condemnation apply if the Constitution allows it?
Well, because I think there's a countervailing public policy argument that was noted in, I believe, the Hodge case, which when the court noted that if a public entity can condemn another public entity's property, you run this risk of an endless cycle of condemning.
That's a whole different question.
Right.
Does the constitutional provision apply to condemning public property? But it's your argument that you can only condemn a little bit, therefore you can't inversely condemn.
Right. That is my argument. I guess that because as we face MSD, we don't have the authority to condemn the property. We could not condemn that traditionally. So therefore, it follows that we could not inversely condemn that. And counsel for appellant cited.
And why could you not condemn it? What is the limitation on your authority to condemn?
Well, because since we don't have that authority, as it exists.
What you said, you have some authority to condemn. What are the limitations of your authority?
We can condemn private property for the enumerated purposes listed in 88667, which excludes public property already devoted to public use.
Okay. So it's just another way of stating the private-public issue.
Somewhat, yes.
And what distinction between the constitutional provision and the statutory provision?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understood your question.
I mean, the constitutional provision precludes you from taking property for public use, and the statute allows you to take it. So one is prohibiting without compensation, and the other is authorizing.
Right.
But it lets you take it for the street purposes.
It lets us take it, yes, for public purposes if it's not devoted to public use. What I would note is that while our constitutional provision prohibiting the taking of private property without just compensation is similar to other states, including California and Oregon, and counsel for appellant noted that in a California case and in an Oregon case, they said, well, you know, private property that is really doesn't exclude public properties, but it's noteworthy in both of those states. They have statutory schemes where they said municipalities and local governments can condemn both public property and both private property and public property that's already devoted to public use. And Missouri has declined to do so. And I think the rationale for that is, as I mentioned earlier, the risk of the cycle of condemning that the Hodge Court cited to as a countervailing rationale.
Can you address the U.S. Supreme Court case, United States versus 50 acres of land? Your opponents rely upon that.
Case, I'm not sure that the federal constitution that, you know, when you're dealing with the federal government taking something from an inferior unit, they've said that, well, the loss to the taxpayers is the same, but they've never dealt with two entities, both created by state law and the state constitution, taking property in and amongst themselves.
But they did say, even though it said private, they would say state and local property we consider private property.
Right. That's true. Under the federal constitution, they have said that would be
so
considered.
Why isn't the comparable true here?
Because I think the legislature in Missouri has declined to give us that authority, whereas, as I said, in California and Oregon.
Isn't it also because public property under the federal constitution meant public, federal public property? And that they were saying that state and local property isn't owned by the federal government or any federal government entity, and therefore there is no distinction between one that's owned by Bob and Sue and one that's owned by the state and its citizen and its city.
And that may very, very well have been the rationale in the 50 acres of land case.
Could you, before you lose the rest of your time jump to the question of why building and maintaining streets should be considered to be governmental instead of proprietary.
Well, yes. If you look at, I believe, the first case that got in, that really started looking at whether or not street projects were considered to be proprietary or governmental, it was Myers versus the City of Palmyra. And that case involved a, I believe it was a street sweeper that struck a pedestrian. It was decided in 1962. If that case were decided today, we would say, well, it was an action by a municipal employee using a publicly owned vehicle, and it would be subject to the statutory waiver of sovereign immunity. And what the court said in that case is they said, look, street sweeping, snow plowing, that really has nothing to do with the health and protection of the public at large. And I would draw a distinction between snow plowing and street sweeping. Snow plowing was the subject of Davis versus the City of St. Louis, which affirmed Myers. There's a distinction, I think, between filling voids beneath the streets to make sure that they don't collapse when people drive over them, and keeping the streets free from clutter and snow. And I think absolutely it implicates the public health and welfare, which is the essence of a governmental duty.
What about building streets? Are there cases addressing just originally paving these streets and so forth, whether that's public or private?
I don't know if there's a case on the paving of public streets, but I think that the rationale of Myers has kind of become, well, street improvement projects are considered to be proprietary, and that's that. And I think it's, if you look at their holding, it says the removal by a municipality of accumulations of snow from its streets, when not done primarily for purposes of sanitation and health of the community, constitutes maintenance and therefore a proprietary function. So my argument is that filling voids beneath the streets to make sure they don't collapse isn't any special benefit to the citizens of Bell Fountain neighbors. It's a benefit to everybody who drives through the community. We hold our public streets in trust for the use of the public. There is no special benefit like operating our own water department or operating our own swimming pool for the citizens of our community that comes from making sure the streets don't collapse. This is a public health issue. If we had our streets collapsing, we would be in a whole lot of trouble. And the courts have said that preventative measures that serve to benefit the public health and safety are considered to be governmental, such as operating a hospital.
And where have they said that?
Crouch versus the City of Kansas City. And that's 444 Southwest 3rd, 517. So even if you're dealing with, for instance, a hospital that that's repairing somebody's broken arm, even though a private citizen is benefiting from that, the legislative purpose that permits a city to operate a hospital is what the court looks at and determines that operating a hospital, for instance, is something that the court has said is governmental. And I would note that the Court of Appeals, in its opinion, transferring this case here, basically cited to the it's the Board of Trustees of the City of Kansas City Hospital versus Russell to say that, well, it's a street improvement project, that's proprietary because of the Russell case. Russell was a medical malpractice case, and the word street appears twice in there. So I don't think Russell is binding on this court, and I think Russell derived its holding from the Myers case, which I don't think is applicable to a project that, like the one in this case, that's designed to protect the public health and safety and prevent it from the dangers that would come from having...
Isn't there an analogous line of cases that if you had immunity, but then you had insurance, then you sort of, you're waiving your immunity by having insurance, that they could go up to the insurance?
There's a statute that would say in our governmental capacity, if we have liability insurance, that we would waive sovereign immunity up to those liability limits. I'm not sure if there's a series of cases where they say the common that would be recognized as common law. I believe that's just a statutory.
Right, well, it's a statute.
Right.
We know the governmental proprietary issue wasn't raised in the pleadings. Was it argued in the trial court?
No, it was not. I believe the first time that came up was the Court of Appeals. What the Court of Appeals said is we don't recognize MSD's theory that they that sovereign immunity simply didn't exist between two governmental entities. But we're going to find, even though MSD has expressly disclaimed that, even though they pled upon information and belief no other exception to sovereign immunity exists, we think there's enough to show that it's proprietary, citing only to the Russell case and one other case, German versus Kansas City, which also relied upon Myers. And so at the end of the day, I think you can draw a big distinction between what Myers said and uphold the holding in Myers, which is that when it's not done for the primarily for the purposes of sanitation and health of the community, it's proprietary. This was done for the purpose of the protection of the community, the health and sanitation of the community. And so I think you should find that it was, that the proprietary exception is not applicable and that the city is closed with sovereign immunity. Just any more questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honors, I'd like to first address the point of made by the city that the city's eminent domain authority somehow limits MSD's ability to bring an inverse condemnation claim. And what the Hodge case actually says is that property already devoted to a public use can be taken. It can be taken in certain circumstances. It can't materially destroy the existing public use. But the city has an option under a general form of authority, is what that case says, to take public property so long as they comply with the rules of that case. They also have a statutory eminent domain authority. And what the Harris versus LP&H construction case says is that these aren't alternatives to inverse condemnation. They're not mirror images of one another. One is a remedy for the condemning authority. When they need property for a certain function, they have to comply with their own statute. An inverse condemnation, by contrast, is a completely separate remedy that's designed for a property owner whose property is damaged or taken without just compensation, where they can sue the condemning authority for that harm. That's exactly what happened here. I also want to, should this court side with the city's argument that there is no remedy available for the city's conduct in this particular circumstances, you risk sort of an absurd result where MSD and the city and MSD and other cities are interacting on a very regular basis. MSD has to, by its very nature of its business, go underneath city streets to access its sewer lines and make repairs. And if there is simply no remedy, there's nothing compelling MSD to do that work on its own sewer lines with any reasonable degree of diligence.
But all we're talking about here is there any remedy against the city? We're not talking about the other possible remedies that MSD might have. We're not foreclosing the fact that MSD might have remedies against other entities, contractors. We're only discussing here today whether or not MSD has a remedy against the city.
But there'll be some instances when MSD or the city is doing its own work. There's some instances when contractors are not bonded and uncollectible. There's some instances when city contractors can't be, you can't prove your case against them. So what we're talking about now, is there a remedy between two political subdivisions? And if there is no remedy, then you create this wasteful system where either the municipality or MSD or other public utilities are not taking care when they're doing work on each other's property, not repairing their divots, and it creates an inefficient system and a chaotic system. And as the Missouri Constitution says, every time property is damaged or persons are damaged, you're entitled to a remedy, and that's what we're asking for today.
But yeah, with sovereign immunity, I think there is an exception. For example, if you get injured, you have 90 days to file a claim, but it's only up to $200,000. So if you're hit by a city truck and you have tremendous damages, your damages are only up to $300,000. No matter how much your real, you're going to claim up to 300, no matter how much your real damages are, that's part of the history.
You're correct, Your Honor, but there is a remedy. It is capped in that instance based on an exception in the statute. But here what the city's arguing is that the sovereign immunity doctrine applies across the board. There is no exception. And we simply don't have a tort remedy, and we don't have an inverse condemnation remedy, and MSD's left holding the bag on this one. So I ask that you reverse the trial level court and grant MSD a remedy for this damage. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel, did either one of you cite cases that are discussed cases in oral argument that weren't cited in your brief? If you would submit a letter to the court and a copy to opposing counsel and include those sites.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Case will be submitted.